And another one of our new neighbors is the Chapel Hill Public Library, and we've got Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, coming by, as she's never done before, to welcome us to the neighborhood.
Hello,
how are you?
Welcome.
What did you bring me for my birthday?
So, thanks for setting me up, Aaron. While you were talking over there, I was like, oh, I thought this maybe said, like, welcome to your new home. No, it says happy
birthday. It says happy
birthday, and
there's
balloons behind you that say
happy birthday.
Happy
birthday, right.
So I was like,
I don't know why the happy birthday. The station put up the happy birthday thing.
It's your birthday.
They put up the happy birthday sign on the other side of the studio here from where I am so that people can look in the window and
see it.
So I can't see it. I have seen it, but I can't see it now.
You know what? If you can just wait 30 seconds, I can run and get you some Chick-fil-A. They're
Ooh,
really close.
That'd be great. So,
I didn't
can we
know
play
that
some
it was
Jeopardy music?
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
So, happy birthday.
Thank you very
Welcome
much.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you. We're excited.
This is cool.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's
all
super
new.
Cool.
Like the Trosa truck is out there. And the
right now, if you're listening and you come by to say hi to us, we're actually right behind a giant moving van because we got like a whole bunch of stuff that's being brought in from our other
place.
You're
not move ed, you're moving.
We're moving. We're going to be moving for a while because we were at the old place at up on Vilcom off of Weaver Dairy for 15 years or close to it. And you know how you move into a house and you don't have a whole lot of stuff and then 15 years later you got to move. And all of a sudden you've got like trucks and trucks and trucks full of things. And how did we accumulate all of this? This is what we've been going through for the last couple of weeks.
So did you get to the point when we moved back to this area from Lawrence, Kansas, we sold a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just didn't want to move across the country.
Right.
We got rid of a lot of stuff and then we still had stuff. And the moving truck was coming at like 6 a.m. and we just did this marathon packing and we were super organized because I'm a librarian, my husband's a little my husband's not anal retentive, he's totally anal retentive, so we were really organized. And then I remember at 2 a.m. we just started throwing stuff in boxes.
Yep.
Like we had kitchen stuff separated from kids stuff, separated from this, and there was just like the giant like 6 or 8 boxes with just Who knows what in them. There might have been a living animal. I don't know.
We were digging through stuff. We found a giant stack of Chapel Hill weeklies from 2012.
Yeah, okay.
Going back even further, we found a CD for like Coca-Cola something from 2002. Like one of those like promotional CD-ROMs,
right.
Those newfangled CD-ROM things that the companies used to give out from Coca-Cola for some reason. Ron Stutz dug up, or actually Ron was going through because I think someone else dug up a giant box of pictures and photographs from like the 80s and 90s and going back into
that's
the 70s. So we were looking at photos of Ron on site,
laughing
at
his hair.
Things.
I mean, you weren't laughing at his hair.
We were not laughing at his hair.
Not.
Yeah, he does have better hair now.
Right.
Ron Stutz is one of those people that just keeps looking better and better with age, and I hope that I'm one of those people,
like,
but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. but yeah, we've been going through so much stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everything looks great. I can't wait
Thank
to come
you.
Back. Yeah, it's awesome. So I will say, at the library, just a segue, I mean, not to talk about us.
Yes, we are talking about the library here.
Not to talk about us.
Right.
I mean, we could talk about you more.
And I will say,
folks, this week, this started last week at the library, so we moved into a beautiful new facility 3.5 years ago.
That's true.
But we are doing a little bit of a refresh right now. So thanks to our good friends at Sherwin-Williams down the road who donated all the paint for it, we have some paint up. That is going to serve as wayfinding, as signage, and it brings some color. So folks that haven't been in the past week will see some really nice blues and greens that are on what's called the soffit. So those big sort of bump outs that hang down from the ceiling. And then this week, big vinyl letters will go up on them. So like from like a gazillion feet away, you will be able to see like where our fiction is. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
So that's happening. So if folks are like wondering, why is there a big red stripe by the bathrooms? This week, that big red stripe's going to say bathrooms on it because
nice.
We had less than optimal signage. And you guys don't have any signage yet, but you
Not
just
yet.
Moved in.
We've got our big sign on
Which
the on
great.
The facade of the building.
Which
but
looks
yeah,
great.
Nothing on the inside yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about it. It's a little bit warm in here, but we're working on that
too. Warm.
It's a little warm.
It's warm and bright where
we've got
I am.
We've got this awesome window that looks out onto the parking lot, and people can come by and say hi, and we're really excited about, like, oh, what the prospect of, like, on exciting days, and people can come by and hold up signs like the two on the Today Show and all of that. But it's a westward-facing window, so when the sun sets and you're experiencing
my left side's a little sweaty.
Literally
right now.
More than anyone else in town right now is that the sun is coming in.
My shirt's
going to
be faded, like half of it.
But it's awesome. We got this new soundboard. We got new computers. Everything's happening.
I'm going to wave at that lady. Oh, she walked away.
She
I was going to wave at her.
Yeah, she's looking for something else.
Now I'm blinded because of the sun. Okay.
Cool. So we're talking books, and our topic has to be moving, new locations, new exciting places. So cool. And in all of the excitement, I was only able to come up with a couple of recommendations. So you go first.
I've got a couple.
All right, go
okay.
for it.
So the first one is actually the book that I'm reading right
Ooh.
Now.
All right.
And it's a brand new book, and it's horror. So if you don't like horror, don't read this book because it's pretty scary.
Uh-huh.
But it is called The Graveyard Apartment, and the author is Mariko Koiki. She's a Japanese author. The book was actually written, like 30 years ago. And she's a very, very well-known author in Japan. And only like one or two of her books have been translated into English. And this one was just translated, and it's called The Graveyard Apartment. And it is set in Tokyo. And this couple, they have a young daughter, and they are trying to sort of move up in the world. And they buy an apartment in this brand new building that's on the edge of, well, it's like in a quiet part of the city. The apartment building, though, is surrounded by a graveyard. And so they move in. They got a great price on it, of course.
Of course.
Because it's surrounded by a graveyard. And bad things start to happen.
Because it's surrounded by a graveyard.
Because it's surrounded by a graveyard.
Or is it because it's surrounded by
right?
a graveyard? And that's just a red herring, and it's actually something else.
And so, right. So the book opens. They just moved in. It's their first day in.
Okay.
This totally isn't going to happen to you.
No, of course not.
And their
not.
Parakeet mysteriously dies. Do you have a parakeet?
Not anymore.
So things get worse from there, but it's what it, so there's nothing groundbreaking about it. It's a pretty classic horror story, but it's well done, and it's set in Japan in the city, so you like get this look into a different culture, and it's very, very good. And it's going to get really scary. So I would also, based on this book, there's probably not a basement here, but if there is, don't use the storage shed in the basement of the creepy, only half-occupied apartment building that's built on a graveyard. They started doing it. I was like, I'm like reading it. I'm like, don't put your stuff down there. That
no,
can't be good.
You should never do that. Not in a horror book, of course. Someone should tell them, go up to them,
right?
Be like, you're in a horror novel.
Screaming
don't
at
go
them.
In the
I
basement.
Know.
Stay on the first floor. Don't go upstairs. Don't go downstairs.
Right?
Easy
or just don't buy there.
Or just
so
don't buy there.
So I will
there,
say,
yeah.
it is October. That's when I read horror all the time, but I love to read horror because Halloween's coming. So
of course.
If you're looking for a new book, I mean, I have to finish reading and get it back. The Graveyard Apartment. It's super good.
That's cool. So now I'm curious as to whether, and I'm sure there's someone listening out there who knows the answer to this question and can enlighten me as to whether there is a basement of University Place, because I don't actually know.
No
I know
one
there's
knows.
An I know there's an upstairs because there's a hallway that goes to the restrooms, and there's a door that goes off, which was open today, and it sort of peeked my head, and it goes upstairs to the mall offices up there. So I know that there's a small upstairs, and Southern Season has their cooking school, so they've got an upstairs
right?
there.
Right.
I don't know if there's a basement. I'm not 100% sure. Like, is this
I
like,
can't imagine there is. I mean, think about how big.
Right? Maybe.
I don't know.
But maybe there's like a crawl space or something. I honestly don't know what the
right.
what the architecture or the layout
if
is.
If there is, it's totally haunted.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It must be.
Now I want to go on this like Pee-wee's Big Adventure kind of quest to find the basement of University Place a la the Alamo.
Just watch that movie.
Isn't it good?
My kids had never seen it.
Oh.
And they were like, we don't want to watch Pee-wee Herman.
Yes,
I was like,
you
sit down and
do.
Shut up. We're watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Did you see Pee-wee's Big Holiday, though? The
no,
Netflix
I saw
released
Big
it.
Top. I
yeah, Big Top
holiday.
Pee-wee, right. Pee-wee's Big Holiday is the one that came out earlier this year that Netflix released, like the brand new Pee-wee Herbie movie.
And
it's fine.
Okay.
Like, I was watching, it's like, I just kind of want to watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure again.
It's so good.
And then did, and it was awesome.
It's so good.
So good. There's no basement in the Alamo.
I like large.
Marge.
Also, so this chair is creaky. This is a different chair. Or maybe it's just really quiet.
Or
here
maybe
and
it's
I hear
October
it
and the chair is haunted. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I think
can
it's creaky.
Can you hear it creaking on the radio? I don't know.
I can hear it creaking in the room.
It's definitely haunted. Okay.
All right,
you
cool.
Go now,
so,
I'm scared.
All right, now I've got one. And since you're recommending the book that you're reading, I have to recommend the book that I'm reading, which I just wrote down. So I didn't think about this as being about a new location, but in a sense, it's the ultimate book about a new location. This is Atul Gawande's book about death and dying, which is being mortal.
That's a great book.
It's a couple of years old, and I've been wanting to read it for a while. And I discovered, and I actually took advantage of this at the Orange County Library up the road, but I'm sure Chapel Hill Library has this exact same thing, that there is a large print section where books that are often not easy to come by, you can actually find in the large print section.
Yes.
So I checked it out, read it really quick, got it back, and it's such a good
book. It's a great book.
Oh,
all of his
God.
Books are great. I liked A Surgeon's Notes, mm-hmm. and he did the Checklist Manifesto, which is great.
Yep.
So I don't like reading large print. There's something about it. Even if it's a book I really, really want, and the large print is there.
Yeah.
There's something about, I
maybe
don't know.
Maybe this is me getting old or something, but I think it's, I appreciated it because you felt like you were accomplishing things faster. Because you can read a page of large print time than it takes to read a page of regular print. So I was able to just fly through 50 pages in a half an hour. I was like, yes, I read 50 pages in a half an hour.
Or because it's October, maybe some old blind grandpa is inhibiting your body. No, that's not what's happening.
I think that's just because it's like football season.
What?
That happens to me every football season, man. The Tar Heels take the field and all of a sudden, get off my lawn.
All right.
Why isn't Matlock on? All right.
I love Matlock.
It is a good show,
I
right?
Love Matlock.
Yeah.
And can I just tell you what's also on Netflix?
Uh-oh.
Murder, She Wrote.
Is Murder, She Wrote on Netflix?
I think it was on Netflix. Okay. I binge-watched it recently. Totally.
I did not realize that Angela Lansbury was like this great, like one of the greatest actors of the 20th century.
Oh, she won the Oscar for, she played the maid in Gaslight.
Yeah, did she?
Gaslight.
I think you're right.
Gaslight. She's great.
She was in Manchurian Candidate, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yes.
She's this amazing Broadway actress. She was Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd. But I didn't know any of that until recently. I was just like, Murder, She Wrote, of course.
Right.
Angela Lansbury. It's the one and only thing she didn't know.
What was her name? Mrs. Fletcher?
Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher.
Yep. Great show. So, anyway, Being Mortal, which is it's about death and dying, but it's also about the way that we deal with end of life conversations,
right.
which was a surprise to me when I read it, because I thought it was a book about death and dying. It's actually a book about the way that medicine and the way that we think about medical care for people who are reaching the end of life, and do we focus exclusively on prolonging life as much as possible, even though that means we sacrifice quality of life, or do we focus on promoting quality of life, which is what Gawande suggests.
Absolutely, yep.
Even if it means we don't take extreme measures to try to prolong life. And it's such an eye-opening
book.
And
it's definitely a, moving to a new location.
Yes, absolutely.
To the final location, perhaps.
All right, so that's my first.
That's a good one. So the next one, I will preface this by saying I did not check, although I've got the app and I could, to see if we own this book, but I love this book and I've been thinking about it a whole lot recently. It's a book from the late 90s, 1998, called Caucasia. And it's by an author named Danzy Senna, and it was her debut novel. And she is a product of a biracial marriage herself. And she writes this book. It's set in the 70s in Boston, and a couple has two daughters. And one looks more like the dad, so she looks black. And the other one looks much closer to the mom, who's white.
Okay.
And the marriage falls apart. So what happens then is the father takes the daughter who looks more like him and goes to Africa, and they live there. And the mother, who is this activist, she's really into civil rights and all of this like sort of activism of the 70s spills over into the 70s, and she takes her daughter and she brings her daughter on the circuit of fighting the good fight, and her daughter has to pass as white. And the story is about they have to move to these two different areas and fitting in, and the different experiences of the girls in the sort of two different worlds and how that move changed everything. It's a great book. She went on to write a couple more. I'm not sure if she's got anything currently out, but it's a really great book, just thinking about, you know, questions of identity and black-white politics and everything that is happening now. The book is called Caucasia by Danzy Senna.
And that reminds me of a book that I also didn't have on my list, but now I've got to recommend it. It's not a book about the line between black and white, but a book about the line between male and female, and also about a family that moves from one house to another, Middlesex.
Middlesex,
by Jeffrey Eugenides, which, like, the thrust of the book is, oh, it's about someone who is born intersex and sort of comes to knowledge of that and you know, that coming of age story. But the real heart of the book is this family saga, and it's about the grandmother and the grandfather who survived the Armenian genocide and then move over to the United States. And then the way the family is, they're living in the Detroit area, but then they're moving from one part of the city. They move out into the near suburbs, into this like crazy house called Middlesex, which is this like futuristic, round everything, kind of quirky with doors that open and close when you don't expect them to. And just the moving of the family from mm-hmm. one place to the other, that was the heart of the book for me. So that was what I appreciated the most about it. So I got to recommend that one.
Good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Okay, I got one more.
All right.
That's actually a book and a movie.
Okay.
The movie was Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, Neighbors.
Okay.
Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did, no.
Was it Dan Aykroyd? I think it was Dan Aykroyd. Anyways, so I was thinking, now that we are neighbors. So the movie is, people either love it or hate it, but it's actually based on a book by Thomas Berger, who's one of my favorite authors to talk about. People, if they know Thomas Berger, they know him from Little Big Man, which was also made into a movie with Dustin Hoffman, yep. Right? So Neighbors, he wrote, it's sort of like if people like Tom Perata, who wrote Little Children and Election, it's like Tom Perata meets Kafka. So the plot of Neighbors, it's a total satire of American suburban life. So it's this... this perfect couple, their names, oh gosh, I forget their names. It's like Edgar and Edna and their daughter Eleanor.
Earl and Enid, perhaps?
Earl and Enid.
Thank you. Yeah, it is, in fact, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd.
Yes,
You're right about that.
So they live this perfect life, and then this just really totally different, insane couple moves in across the cul-de-sac.
All right.
And it's over the top, both the book and the movie, just everything that could go wrong does. And Earl and Enid.
Just can't
deal with it.
So
and
is
it
the...
becomes very slapstick and very dark and very just over the top satire.
Interesting. So am I just realizing this now that the new, like, Seth Rogen, Zac Efron Neighbors is an update?
Did
or
they
a
redo Neighbors?
I didn't know that.
Because
there was the one about, like, the Seth Rogen plays the, oh God, what?
Can I just tell you, my first child was born in 2011. In 2004, all of my cultural references generally stop there. I'm like, yeah, Seth Rogen and who? What?
Yeah, Seth Rogen, now I'm, oh God, Rose Byrne, I think is...
Okay.
Is who, now, I, yeah, Rose Byrne. Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne play a husband and wife, and they're like...
It's got to be the same thing.
Middle-class couple, and then a frat house moves next door.
Oh, okay.
With Zac Efron as the head frat guy.
So maybe that's this was the inspiration, because...
Maybe.
In the book and the movie, this couple moves in, and it's just, if you like satire, it's pretty, it's kind of dark, but it's really funny, and you laugh at things that you shouldn't be laughing at, but you laugh at them anyways, because Thomas Berger, I think, is such a great writer, and he's kind of a cult author in that people just don't read him much anymore or don't know him, but those that do, you're like a secret code, like, yeah, I like him too. So absolutely, if you like that type of thing, Neighbors by Thomas Berger. I checked. We have both the book and the movie.
Okay.
At CHPL. It's not for everyone.
Yes.
But those with a certain comical bent. We'll enjoy it.
Awesome. I will check that out. All right. We got to wrap up. But Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, new neighbor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Wait, that's
a minute.
Right.
Are you the staid middle class neighbor and we're the wacky people moving in, or is it the other way around?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
That's right.
All right. Susan, thank you so much.
Thanks.